Good morning. Good to see you in the house of the Lord on this beautiful day. I send greetings from Tim and Kathy Watley. Had coffee with them this week, and they wanted to be remembered to you this morning. And so I do that on their behalf. Each of us has a job to do this morning. Mine is to share the instruction of God's word to you, and yours is to listen and consider its counsel. And my hope is that you will not finish your job before I have finished mine. The topic I want to address and share with you is God's instruction concerning our speech, the tongue. Many years ago, Thomas Edison was a guest speaker at an event and was introduced by the master of ceremonies, mentioning many of his inventions. And he spoke at great length to his talking machine. When Mr. Edison rose to speak, he gently said, "I want to thank him for his kind remarks, but I must insist on a correction. God invented the talking machine. I only invented the first one that can be shut off." The power of speech is one of the greatest powers God has entrusted to us, God has given to us. With it, we praise him, we pray, we proclaim his word. We can even lead someone lost to the cross. What a wonderful privilege. But we can also ruin a person's reputation and break a loved one's heart. The ability to communicate gives us an ability to influence others. James gives us some instruction in James 3, which we have just read, and I would like to direct your attention to that passage this morning as we would begin. Let me lead us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we recognize that your word has good counsel for us. You instruct us how we are to live in community, how we are to live in a fashion that is honoring and pleasing to you. And so, Lord, give us ears to hear, we would pray, and a will and a desire to conform. We would ask in Jesus' name, amen. So first we see in the first part of James 3 that the tongue reveals. James opens this topic with a very clear warning. Let not many of you become teachers, my brother, knowing that as such you will incur a stricter judgment. Interesting introduction into the topic, yet a very important one, as it does speak to the importance of what we say. As a pastor, it hasn't happened a lot, but it has happened when we have a guest speaker share some things in which we're not in that space. We don't conform to that. And as that has been done, I think, man, you have just created all kinds of work for me. And I'm really grateful that Pastor Tyler is very insistent on knowing who it is that will get behind the microphone in Forest Baptist Church, what it is that they represent, what it is that they say. And this is for his sake and for our sake and for the sake of our ministry and our calling as the Church of God. And here we have in James chapter 3, it is clear to anyone who desires to be in that position of communicating God's truth that they will be held accountable for what they say by God. The whole theme and purpose of the book of James is to bring the believer to maturity, to instruct us how we are to live. And James writes in verse 2 of chapter 3, "For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. No, we're not perfect, and we all stumble in our walk. But here we are told, if we can control what we say, we are well on the way of controlling every other facet of our lives. But our tongue is not just difficult to control. It also reveals what is inside. In Matthew chapter 12, a demon-possessed man who was also blind and mute was brought to Jesus. And Jesus healed him. Not only did he deliver him from the demonic spirit, but that he could see and that he could speak as well. And as the people rejoiced, the Pharisees accused Jesus of working in the power of Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. And Jesus spoke to the Pharisees' accusation with these words, "You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks of that which fills the heart. A good man brings out his good treasures what is good. And the evil man brings out his evil treasures, which is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an account for in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Our speech reveals our hearts. A couple chapters later, in Matthew 15, Jesus again is speaking to the challenges that came from the Pharisees with his disciples. And his disciples asked for clarification. And Jesus responded, "Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes through the stomach and is eliminated? But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slander. Those are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man." You might not be able to tell a righteous man by his speech, but you can often tell an unrighteous man by his speech. I heard of a story of a farmer who drove a team of mules to town and was much later getting home than was expected. And so his wife, waiting for him with dinner, asked him, "What was the delay? Did you have a breakdown or something?" To which he said, "Coming home, the pastor was walking along the road, and so I stopped to pick him up. And from that point on, the mules never understood a word I said." This is not good. But it's not just the ungodly speech that we're talking about here. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 25, 11 and 12, "Let apples of gold be in settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances, like an earring of gold and an ornament in fine gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear." We ought to be building up one another, not tearing one another down. And when our conversation turns to gossip, I would encourage you to speak something positive about that person and just kind of watch how that is responded to. Let us not be participating in gossip. How poor of an image we have if that is what we are known for in our circles. God's word tells us our speech reveals what is in our heart. How is our heart looking? We will reap what we repeat, Scripture tells us. Well, let's go on. The tongue also directs. To illustrate how the tongue directs, James gives us two illustrations. Now, if we put the bits into the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by the very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. Both the bit and the rudder are small in comparison to the thing that they are controlling. And it is very, and it may very well be that to strive to control contrary forces, such as the wild nature of a horse or the wild winds, the strong winds or the currents of a boat, sometimes it takes a strong hand to accomplish that, to maintain control. The human tongue must also overcome contrary forces, such as habits or the old man desiring to take control, even encourage us to sin. And it requires resolve and discipline and commitment. But praise the Lord that he will help us if we ask him, call upon him during such times. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit." I'm sure many of you know of the story of Joni Erickson Tada, who was paralyzed as a child in a diving accident. And she was talking to a soldier and she said this, "I would rather be in a wheelchair knowing God than walking without him." A fellow, a very dear friend I went through school with, Bible school, who was deaf, totally deaf. And I have referred to John Northey as his name. He is pastoring up in Peterborough. And I have referred to him as well but in the past. But I have heard him give testimony of praise to the Lord for his deafness, because it has given him an opportunity to share the gospel, to share Jesus with people that have never heard. A bit and a rudder have power. They affect the movements of such greater object, a horse or a boat. So do words. They have power. Let's continue in James 3. The tongue can destroy. In verse 5, "So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire." I vividly remember waking up to a glow that was coming through our window in the middle of the night. And as I got up and looked, pulled the curtains back, the house directly behind us was in full flame. Quickly getting dressed, I ran back to see if there's anything that I can do. And the couple that were living there were frantic. And I grabbed the man. I said, "Is there anyone in there?" To which my heart was greatly comforted when he said no, as the windows were blowing out of the house. I'm sure many of you have personal stories of the devastation that fire can bring. Some of you may remember the old camp song. I don't know if they sing this anymore, but I remember as a child singing this song. It goes, "Late last night when we were all in bed, old Lady Leary let a lantern in the shed, and when the cow kicked it over, she winked her eye and said, 'There'll be a hot time in the old town tonight.'" That's a story about the fire in Chicago in 1871, when the O'Leary's farm caught fire because a cow knocked over the lantern. And it put destroyed 100,000 homes. 300 people died, and it cost the city. Remember, this is back in 1871, and it cost the city $400 million. Fire can cause great damage. And here, the tongue is likened to fire. James parallels the tongue with fire. And Solomon makes this connection as well in Proverbs 26. For lack of wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no whisper, contention quietens down. Like fire, the tongue can heat things up. And Solomon also wisely said, there is a time to be silent and a time to speak. His father, King David, knew this well when he said in Psalm 39, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth as with a muzzle while the wicked are in my presence. How we can affect others who know of our faith, who know of our stand and our love and our desire to glorify God with a thoughtless and careless comment. And the tongue as fire can destroy those things that it holds most valuable. Relationships, especially the relationship that ought to be most dear to us, our spouse, our children, our witness, our reputation. The day I wrote this, CBC headlines reported this. Trump says that he made up facts about the trade deficit in meeting with Trudeau. Listening to a report on this, a news reporter said, all the world leaders will be aware of this as they deal with President Trump. Who can imagine the implications of this? The tongue can destroy what the rest of the body truly desires to achieve. And verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. Maybe it's a little easier to understand that out of the English Standard Version. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. The notes in the ESV Study Bible suggest that the tongue may damage every aspect of individual and community life. But not only does the tongue possess destructive power like fire, but the tongue also has power to poison. Verses 7 and 8. For every species of beasts and birds and of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. So the tongue has power to do great damage and destroy things that cannot be restored. Things like one's integrity and one's reputation. We can easily say things that once said cannot be unsaid. In my marriage and pre-marriage counseling, I strongly encourage the couple to never use the word divorce in the midst of an argument. For in doing so, plants a seed that you really don't want planted. And so I encourage them to make a covenant that they will just not use that word in the midst of an argument. But as the tongue is capable to create great hurt and damage, so the tongue can be a source of great delight. Starting at verse 9, with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of men. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. The tongue has great power for contradiction, to be a source of blessing as well as to be a source of cursing. Yesterday was St. Patrick's Day. So humor me as I tell you this story that I remember as a child. A man gets lost in the bush and starts getting cold as evening approaches. So he is blowing on his hands, and an elf finds him and says, "Why are you blowing on your hands?" And he says, "I'm warming them up." Well, the elf takes him to his home for the night and offers him a bowl of hot soup. The man accepts it and tastes it, and it is hot. And so he is blowing on his spoon. And he says, the elf says, "Why are you blowing on your soup?" And he said, "To cool it down." And the elf responds, "That is amazing that hot air and cold air can come out of the same mouth." But isn't it also strange how we can speak both blessings and cursings? James says, "My brothers, these things ought not to be that way." The mouth of a righteous is a fountain of life, Solomon writes in Proverbs 10. But the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Jesus said, "A thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that you might have life and have it abundantly." There should be a significant difference between the speech of a Christ follower and the speech of a world follower. And yet, the old man still dwells within us. Peter made this confession to Jesus just prior to his arrest in Matthew 26. "Even though all may fall away, I will never fall away. Even if I have to die for you, I will not deny you." And then before the chapter concludes, the scripture reads this. Now, Peter was sitting outside the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him and said, "You too were with Jesus in the Galilean." And he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you are talking about." When he had gone out into the gateway, another servant girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again, he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." A little later, the bystander came up and said to Peter, "Surely you too are one of them, for even the way you talk gives you away." And he began to curse and swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the words that Jesus had said, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. The tongue that blesses the Father and curses man made in God's image is in desperate need of a spiritual cleansing but not with soap. For the problem is not with the tongue itself, but with the heart. So in conclusion, let me share a few words that can help in transforming your life. When spoken from the heart, you will find God using you to be a blessing and an encouragement to others. First, please and thank you. Showing personal appreciation, treating people with respect and not as things. I'm sorry. This is a way of breaking down walls and building relationships when a wrong has been committed, when we have stepped out of line in our relationship with one another. I love you, not just in a romantic context. As Christians, we are instructed to love one another. And this has tremendous power when spoken with sincerity. I'm praying for you. But be sure that you are. When you talk to God about people, it is then much easier to talk to people about God. And praying for them helps your relationship as you become more and more interested and involved with them, even from a distance. The tongue can reveal, can direct, can destroy, and can delight. Such a little member that holds such power. Give God your tongue and your heart each day and become a wonderful blessing to one another. Let's pray. Father, we recognize, as we have seen in your word, that you have entrusted us with an opportunity of having great influence and destruction in people around us to whom we share life and community. Lord God, may we hear the counsel of your word. May we recognize that we have opportunity to influence, even influence for eternity's sake. But we also have opportunity to destroy and to bring significant hurt. Lord God, give us wisdom and help us in our control, that we might season our speech with salt, that we might recognize that we are uniquely blessed to be an ambassador of you. And so, Lord God, we bow before you with gratefulness for such privilege of serving you. May we do so wisely. May we do so for your glory. Lord, may our speech be pleasing to you, and in being pleasing to you, beneficial to one another. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.